Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. Sitting here in this little cozy room this morning, got the fireplace going. John's come over and sat in with me a few minutes this morning, and kind of apropos with the season, we may talk a little bit about Christmas. Our first guest hadn't made it in yet. If he does make it in later, we'll just run John out of the room and put him back in the green room. But right now, we of course like to welcome everyone in this morning once again to the Clay County Corner here at from the historic Clay County Courthouse, and it's indeed once again a pleasure to be coming into your homes this morning. And of course, I know I say the kids are all probably at home this morning, so you might want to turn the radio up, wake all them up, and get them out and get them going early this morning. Of course, it's really not early yet, but I guess it's early for a day off from school. But I think all of our schools are out here in Clay, Monroe, and everywhere around. It's Christmas time
it
again.
It is.
We had our Christmas play the other weekend. Great success with it again.
I was going to ask you how that went.
Great, and we broadcast the show, the entire show from WVFB. Throughout the courthouse. it was a great show, great music, and a great little play that we had, and once again, a great success. But we've got another interesting guest coming up here in a few minutes. We're going to talk a little bit about the soil conservation banquet the other night before we finish here today, and then we've got our birthdays and anniversaries coming up.
Got a whole page full of
them. We got a whole bunch of them. Some of the names I know, most all of them I knew or have known at one time or another, and we'll read those off here about halfway through the show. And once again, we'll remind you that magic number is 243-5574. And remember, you are speaking into an answering machine, and those personal remarks, really, that answering machine, he doesn't react to that hardly at all.
No sense of humor, does it?
None at all. Not unlike you and I. But I guess if we want to, we'll just take a little short break and come back just a minute. But we'll remind you exactly where we're at here. We're at WVFB FM 101.5, Kick Country. And we do come to you live and in living color here on your radio dial every Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. And then we'll be rebroadcasting tonight at 6 o'clock. And remind folks, too, that these broadcasts are audio streamed on the Bell Hall Horizon site, I think, by date. And you can go back and listen to those just about any time you want to. But with that all said, let's take a little short break, come back, and we'll just talk about Christmas here a few minutes. I think it's coming up, so might be a good time to talk about it.
Right around the corner.
Yes, it is.
Hey, Clay County. Dairy Queen in Salina and Kix Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down. 243-5574 to win an ice cream cake from Kix Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. senior care unit located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The senior care unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to senior care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Just sitting here with John. I just gave him some information here.
That's right.
We were talking about bluegrass musicians for a second there, and we brought up the dobro, and I asked him if he knew who invented the dobro, which is a, I guess also is known as what is a national steel guitar when the blues pickers use
yeah.
it. But the dobro came from the Dobrinsky brothers from Poland.
I did not know that, but something I did learn the other day, I saw something about trapeze artists. And the first guy to do the trapeze was like in France or something. And his wife made his tights for him, his costume. And his last name was Leotard.
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 Well, let's see. I usually do a little thing off today in history. I've got a couple of things pulled up on the computer here, but I've listed a couple of things. This is one of my favorite dates. In 1891, Dr. James Naismith solidified the rules for the game of basketball, as he saw it at that time.
Whoa.
Up in Springfield, Massachusetts, which is where the Basketball Hall of Fame is located.
I did not know that.
Which I had a pleasure of visiting a few years ago. But another neat thing about that, there in that same little town, right real close by to where the Hall of Fame used to be, I think they repositioned it, but was the Indian Motorcycle Museum.
Oh.
So that was two great stops in one time up there with the Indian Motorcycles and the Basketball Hall of Fame. And in 1898, and I'd say that if they knew where this discovery would eventually lead to, they might have not even made this one. That was the Curies discovered radium on this date, which had definitely changed the outlook and in the entire world.
Yep, sure did.
With the discovery of radium, which it eventually led to the nuclear age. 1914, the first full-length silent movie was released. Guess who it starred?
Tom Mix?
No. It wasn't a cowboy picture.
Who?
Maybe a little hobo-looking guy.
Oh, Charlie Chaplin?
Charlie Chaplin.
Oh.
There we go. Then in 1937, the first full-length animated movie was released.
Would that be Snow White?
That would be Snow White.
All right.
So you're up on your trivia, too.
I don't know anything else.
And I'm looking on down through here. It looks like on this day in 1959, Tom Landry accepted a coaching job with the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
Now, that's a significant thing. I'm just looking down through it, pictures. Joey Gallo was sentenced to prison on this day. I think he was one of the mafia guys, wasn't he? So that's, that's interesting. And then let's see, we got some other things down through here.
Well, there's a mugshot of somebody.
John Wayne Casey. Does that name ring a bell?
Yes, it does, but I can't associate it with his crime.
A bunch of serial murders. I think, see the guy they found up in Illinois where they found all the people buried under his house?
I don't remember.
I believe that's who he was. There's just all kinds of things when you go to popping through these things that you run into. And I know there's a lot of websites that have this stuff on them, and they go all the way up, through modern times. They've got birthdays and all that stuff. But that's some of the major things that happen. I know that occasionally you and Randy do some of these.
Yeah, you know what amazes me with this is when I was a kid and we had to do a book report or something, we couldn't afford and a set of encyclopedias, but there was a friend of mine down the street. And you either went and looked through all those books or you went to the library and looked. Everything's at your fingertips now. It's just amazing to me.
Well, you know, I remember one year I taught American history in high school for a number of years, and one year I had this extremely intelligent group of folks that all wound up in the class together.
Mm-hmm.
And we taught, and I say we, me and the student, we taught that class that year without any textbook of any kind.
Really?
And I found a place, I don't remember whether I found it online or found a book, but they had questions about different areas of history, different facts of history.
Mm-hmm.
And the way this thing was written, there wasn't any way possible that you could find a complete answer to any of the questions from one source.
Really? You had to research it, huh?
You had the research, and it was set up for you. But one of the things would lead you to the next one. And that was one of the classes, I guess, that I ever taught.
I was telling Randy the other day, I used to watch a show on PBS called Connections with a man hosting it by the name of James Burke. And what he would do, he would start out with like the modern air conditioner, in a window or something. Then he would backtrack the history of it as to what led to it. And it would go back to Napoleon and all kinds of stuff. It's really amazing.
Okay, now speaking about backtracking, the history of the season.
Okay.
I got a bunch of notes over here on this, too. I like to do this sometimes because, these things we kind of take for granted. But, as we all know, Christmas is an annual date that's set aside to celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ was born.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's no actual, historical markings of this because I guess if he'd have been born into Jewish nobles, there would have been an actual day because, the Jewish people, they kept good records of all the genealogy when they were born. But
mm-hmm.
There is a genealogy, but there's no specific date. But, they've tried, astronomers have tried to go by the side of the star. And I think one of the best guesstimates they've got maybe somewhere in May or June was the actual time of birth. But irregardless of the time, it's the time, it's not necessarily the day of the birth, but it's the day that we celebrate the birth.
Exactly.
On, that Jesus Christ was born into our section of the world. And it's a great celebration of a lot of things that going on and throughout the world, irregardless, I guess, of religion or whatever, cultural or religiously, this is a public holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And there are very few countries in the world that do not celebrate Christmas. I think even now that the communist regimes are all down, they celebrate
right.
Christmas now too.
Yeah.
So, but looking back, I just jotted down some of the things that I saw that were kind of interesting on these things, and that was that the early Catholic Church, the Roman Catholics, the
mm-hmm.
And then the church that was established in Constantinople, they came up with a date. And it's kind of interesting how they came up with this date to begin with, John, was that it was, they set it on one of the solstice of the shortest day of the year, and there were a lot of, the pagans, that they celebrate, it kind of scared them because the day was so short and this kind of thing,
right.
They were celebrating to the gods and all this type of thing. So the members of the organized church decided, hey, there's already a holiday here, and if we convert some of these folks and get them to convert to Christianity, they'll have a reason to celebrate something that they were already celebrating, so let's do it that way.
Huh.
And I think I've read that as being one of the reasons why that date was selected by the established church there at that time. And I think also I found that the actual, Christmas is an alliteration of a Mass for Christ, which
right.
is a celebration of Christ. And I believe the earliest date that I found on that the phrase being recorded was in the year 1038. Was the first date that Christmas, the actual combination of that, was actually recorded in, I think maybe in, probably it was probably in Italian or...
Yeah.
Or some language
you'd
like
think
that.
It would be earlier than that for some
but
reason.
That was the first time that actual phrase was put together and used. And they, the different cultures have different things that, like the food they serve. Looking down through this thing, of course, you know, we serve country ham, turkeys, and
right.
all things like that. But then, you know, some of the countries, like I said, you know, European origins, they like the, you know, the turkey and the dressings and all that stuff. And then in Poland, I reckon what they like?
Potato things that they...
How about kielbasa?
Oh, no. Really? Kielbasa?
Yes. And cabbage and soup.
Huh.
And then they, over in Italy, take a guess on that one.
Spaghetti.
It's close. Lasagna.
Lasagna.
But I thought those were kind of neat. And, you know, looking on down there, going even up to modern times, back around the turn of the century, Rockefeller Center became a place where
right.
the big annual Christmas tree was lit.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring in a tree there that's nearly as tall as the Empire State Building and light that thing up.
As a young guy, you know, every year at Christmas time, they'd have that on TV.
Right. I think they still do have the lighting of the Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, we've got the Christmas tree lit. We better earn some money.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's take a little short break and we'll come back. And we may let Matthew join in here in a minute. Matthew Craig, James Matthew Craig had just joined us from the soil conservation folks. He may have some Christmas tales because I think Matthew, he just lost his majority status in his family here a little while back. We may let him tell everyone how he did that.
I've decided that I no longer have any opinions or make any decisions in our family because I am the odd person out after the birth of our new baby girl for the family.
Uh-oh.
With that said, we'll take a little break and be right back.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
This will be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rinse cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Bingo!
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. We'd like to welcome you in again here on WBF, WVFB. I don't know why I keep transposing that F and B in that thing.
I was going to say, we're going to have to change that around just for you, Tom.
It took me a long time to get it down the halfway right, but it is at 101.5.
I usually get
that right, and it is Kicks Country, and it is right here in Salina, Tennessee. And we're proud to have John is still sitting in with us. We were talking a little bit about Christmas, and we kind of did a little religious historical background for a few minutes. Then we made it all the way up to the Christmas tree. But, you know, kind of backing up, the outside of the birth of Christ, the major character in Christmas is, of course, Santa Claus.
Right.
And I think that even traces back to a religious personality back in early history, the Saint Nicholas. I'm not sure. He was in one of the Eastern European countries, I think, and he traveled around there, you know, giving gifts and things to children and that type of thing. And he and that name Saint Nick, that's also another name they use for Santa Claus occasionally. But just kind of looking at, and I ran across this little thing about. I'm just going to read this here in a second about the most. Most famous story about St. Nicholas came about as a result of hanging up stockings to put presents started. And it says, it goes like this. There was a poor man who had three daughters, and the man was so poor he did not have enough money for a dowry. So his daughters couldn't get married. And, of course, we all know what a dowry is. That's where the father had to pay somebody to come get his daughter. And said, this still happens in some country even today. One night, St. Nicholas secretly dropped a bag of gold down the chimney and into the house. That meant that the oldest daughter then was able to get married. So the bag fell into a stocking that had been hung to about a fly. This was repeated later with the second daughter and the third daughter, and all the way through each one of these, till it got all the daughters married off, all of them a year apart.
Wow.
So that is where hanging the stocking came from.
That's a pretty generous St. Nick.
Yeah, for the father to get rid of those daughters. And then also, you know, we got the gifts and stuff. Of course, after St. Nicholas was gone, they had to come up with somebody that was delivering all these Christmas gifts. So then that's where the Father Christmas came from. He was the first one that did that, or Old Man Christmas. But then we're going a little bit farther, in 1823, it was the night before Christmas, and all through the house was written.
Doesn't say who wrote that, does it?
Well, it said that Dr. Clement Moore was given credit for it, and he'd written it for his children. But I think of course, you know how they research everything.
Right.
And now they're saying that probably, maybe, you know, that his wife's brother, maybe, or a distant relative of Dr. Moore's wife, may have been the one who actually wrote that. And this is where the name of the reindeers came from.
Oh, really?
That in this poem, that's where they were given their name. On Donner, on Vixen, that type. That's where these came from.
Huh.
Which is now, of course, part of our Christmas tradition. And the most famous reindeer of all?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
And who sang that great song?
Gene Autry.
Gene Autry. We're right on a roll this morning, aren't we? And the first actual picture of a Santa Claus was drawn by Thomas Nast, who was a political cartoonist for Harper's Weekly. Harper's Weekly was a magazine back in those, you know, but didn't have photographs to begin with. So, you know, most of the pictures in the old Harper's magazines were hand-drawn. And he drew a picture of kind of a fat-looking guy with a big long beard that was actually sitting smoking a pipe. And that kind of developed into what we have now as Santa Claus with his red suit and traveling all over the... I don't know how they pull him around in that thing, but... traveling all over the world and giving out gifts. And
seems like I heard somewhere the first commercial picture of Santa Claus was used to sell Coca-Cola.
No, that's another thing
there. I could
be
wrong.
No, you're correct on that. That was the next step up, John.
Oh, was it? What a segue.
We are on a roll on this. A lot of people actually thought that Coca-Cola invented Santa Claus because of one of the early commercials and you know, I guess they did a lot made to perfect his look.
Right.
You know, Santa Claus and I guess they're white snow bears were, you know, just Santa Claus became a trademark. You know, he was on all of the Coca-Cola. Of course, you can find one of those metal signs now. Hold on to that.
That's right. That's right.
But no, they did not invent Santa Claus, but they were given a whole lot of credit for it. And one more thing. What about the economic impact of Christmas?
Phenomenal.
I mean, have you ever, you know, I've got a thing here now that says this year they're expecting, from the time that it starts, this is from the Deloitte, I guess this big accounting company that, and they say they expect retail holiday sales this year to top $1 trillion from the time it begins in November up through January.
I know, it's absolutely amazing, just amazing.
And that, you know, with the boost that it gives our economy, you know, a lot of stores only remain in business Because
for Christmas.
For the big Christmas sales. Well, I think we pretty well covered Christmas. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do now. I'm going to read our long list of names today and let Matthew come over and sit down a lot. And we may wander off on Christmas or something or other. Maybe find out we can give away secrets of what he's giving away for Christmas gifts this year or whatever. But this week we've got quite a few folks on the week. I guess this is the week before Christmas. And Christmas is actually, what, Monday? Christmas Eve, Sunday night, and they're calling for a little bit of snow, so we may have a white Christmas, maybe just a sprinkling of white, but we have got a whole bunch of names here today celebrating a birthday this week, and we'll begin with Felicia Watson, who celebrated a birthday on the 19th. Of course, some of these folks didn't give a date. They just called in and said they're celebrating this week. I don't know, you'd think maybe they'd finally get used to their answering machine here. But Donna Rich Watson on the 18th of this week. Betty Buford also on the 18th. We had a whole slew on the 18th this week. Josie Williams on the 18th. And then these were called in by their friends over at Beach Bethany and also from their friends over at Beach Bethany and from their friends all over the county and all over this area. John Mark and Louise Hayes celebrated their 75th wedding anniversary this past week. And we'd like to wish them a very, very happy anniversary. And then I think John Oscarthorpe called in a birthday for Gary Pennington. Roy and Shirley Brown celebrated their wedding anniversary this past week on the 18th. We elected a whole bunch on the 18th. Harold Mullen on the 18th. And this one, I didn't get a date on this one, Miss Peggy Davis celebrated a birthday this past week. And celebrating this week also, Dorothy Sparks, Elsie Garrett, and Cornell Smith. We just keep going today. Debbie Key celebrating a birthday this week. And then also an anniversary for Linda and Larry Crow, and this is from their friends, family, brothers, sisters, cousins, the Smith family out around Miles area. They'd like to wish them a very happy anniversary. And then Mrs. Wealthy Strong's nephew down in Carthage. We're not putting his name on the list, but we'll mention his name, Logan Carlisle, celebrated, I think, his 18th birthday. And also Amber Strong, celebrating a birthday this week. Gene Pennington celebrated a birthday on the 16th. Joe Eisenberg on the 20th, and his sister Dorlis Watson called that one in, would like to wish him a happy birthday. And James and Janice Moss, I think they live over in the Pine Hill area, don't they? I think so. And they're celebrating an anniversary this week. And we'd also like to wish a very special birthday to Mr. Leon Walker over at the Salina Rehab Center. His friends over there had let us know that he celebrated his birthday on the 20th. So happy birthday, Leon, if you're listening this morning. So if you'll remember, the number to call is 243-5574. Speak slowly and clearly into the answering machine. And it's usually a good idea, if you want to mention their name twice. That way, do it at the end of what you're when you're telling us. And that way, we'll get it for sure. Because sometimes if you speak too quickly into the answering machine, part of their first name may get clipped off a little bit. So it's usually a pretty good idea to mention it again during your call. But once again, 243-5574. And with all that, we'll take a little break, come back, and Matthew's going to talk to us a little bit about soil conservation here in Clay County. Okay, Matthew?
Sounds good.
All right, we'll be back just in a minute. That's a
bunch. Hey, Clay County, Dairy Queen in Salina and Kix Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574. Clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down, 243-5574 to win an ice cream cake tree and Dairy Queen in Salina.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Of course, with all the stuff we were talking about Christmas, we forgot to wish everyone a Merry Christmas here from WZFB-FM. And we would like to do that now. We hope everyone has a very, very merry and safe Christmas. And if you're traveling, we wish you Godspeed and safe travel to any place you may be going. And we do know this is the time of friends, families, and good friendships. So Merry Christmas to us, to all the folks out here in Radio Land. Matthew, I can't get used to the James in there sometimes. I know that is your first name, named after your grandfather, best I remember.
And, yes, sir, that's correct.
But it's good to have you here with us this morning. And you said, I think you guys had your banquet the other night where you gave away some awards, didn't you? And you might want to talk about the awards and even talk about anything going on with the soil conservation folks now.
Yes, sir. I'm here representing the Clay County Soil Conservation District this morning. And we just wrapped up our annual awards banquet, which is the first part of December every year. And I guess the first place I want to start is to give a big thank you to everybody that give donations this year. Most people are under the impression that we get some state money or federal money to put this banquet on with, but that'd be false. This banquet is sponsored totally by the citizens and business owners in Clay County. And this year they come together to give over $3,700 worth of donations.
But you wouldn't have to have a list, because if you have your list there of the donors, or...
I don't have my list with me, but I know it was over 40 by the time we got done.
So we're not going to try and ask you to give those off the top of your head, are we?
No, but...
You don't leave anyone out, that's for sure.
But I'd say that you could go in just about any business in Salina this morning and thank them for their donation and be safe that they give something to the Soil Conservation Banquet.
That's one thing about our merchants here. If it's a worthwhile cause, they're behind you, aren't they?
Yes, sir. It amazes me that I talk to other conservation districts across the state, like in Cookeville or even down around Nashville, and they have a hard time getting enough money to put a banquet on. But you take Salina, which is one of the smaller populated counties in the state, and we can band together and get nearly $4,000.
And what did you serve them?
The Cattlemen's Association cooked pork loin and baked potatoes.
All right, that's usually a pretty good set in the vittles, isn't it?
It's hard to beat from the reviews that I get anyway. And another thing I want to mention is this year we had over 135 door prizes that we give out at the banquet.
So how many people did you have there?
Ended up, final count we got, we had over 180 people. And we'll normally average anywhere from 180 to 220 people.
So just about everybody got a door prize.
Actually, I told everybody the district had a couple boxes of hats there, and I said, if you don't win a door prize, we'll give you a hat. So everybody in the building got a door prize.
Well, everybody got something. That's great.
I guess the next thing is I recognize some of the speakers that we had. We had our state representative, Kelly Kieslin, there, and he's always been good to help sponsor our banquet. He gives all of our award winners a blue book and a certificate of achievement from the state. And then we had our Tennessee Association of Conservation District state president, Kelly Stockton, was there and gave an update on their association. And then we had the Tennessee Poultry Association president, Mr. Dale Barnett, was there. And he really likes our banquet, and he recognizes that we've worked with the poultry industry in the county, which is a really strong industry here. And they really appreciate the work we've done for them. And then we had from the Tennessee Technological University, we had Dr. Fennewald. He's the animal science professor there. And he actually gave an update on the poultry facility that they're working on getting installed at Tennessee Tech. And then finally, we had from the Tennessee Department of Agriculture, we had Ms. Jessie Campbell, and she is their new outreach coordinator.
So you had some heavy hitters, didn't you?
I feel like we had a good representation of the agriculture and conservation industry across the state there.
Okay, and I know that your name says conservation, and I know you have awards that are based around conservation, and of course the farm, the hay farmers. Just, if you farm, and you got something for them, haven't you, every year just about?
We cover quite a bit of territory. I guess we'll start with the youngest. We do a conservation poster contest that's school-wide across the county. And this year we recognized in the kindergarten through first grade, first place was Miss Lyra Craighead. Second place was Riley Smith. Second through third grade, first place was Addison Boone. Second place was Haley Strong. Fourth through sixth grade, first place was Caden Dyer. Second place was Shelby Strode. Seventh through ninth grade, first place was Ella McLaren. Second place was Chloe Watson. And 10th through 12th grade, first place was Harley Dolworth. And we just learned that Caden Dyer placed second at the state contest, and this is the second year that he's placed in the state contest.
Now, exactly what did those folks do for you?
They put together a poster that represented conservation, and ended up all of our winners received a $10 prize.
But we had someone that went on to the next level and did well. That's great, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, next up.
Next up, we did our Educators of the Year, and this year we did the Salina Head Start teachers. They've been great to let us bring our mascots, Sammy Soul and Ruby Raindrop, in to see the students there. And this year we did Miss Ashley Copeland, Astrid Jolin, Sharon Watson, Shirley Williams, and Linda Wilkerson.
They have helped raise a bunch of youngins in Clay County, haven't they?
They have. We're blessed to have them.
Yes, that's a fine group of folks that they have taking care of their kids during the daytime for them.
Yes. And next up, we do a scholarship every year. And this year, the winner was Mr. Alan Scott. He's a senior at the Clay County High School. And he's been very active in 4-H and FFA, and he's been to some of our land judging contests and been active with the district.
Very fine young man.
Yes, sir. Next award we give out was our Grassland Farmer of the Year. And we gear this award towards somebody that produces pasture and hay, and normally that's in this area, that'd be for cattle. And this year we was proud to give the award to Mr. James Holman from up on the, I guess would that be Neely's Creek, or would that be Pine Branch?
I guess it's Pine Branch, I guess.
I believe so.
I guess that's part of Neely's Creek.
but they all kind of run together up through there.
The branch runs into the creek.
Next up, we had our Poultry Producer of the Year, and we give this to one of our poultry farmers that's worked with the district. This year, we give it to Mr. Tommy Cherry from the Hermit Springs community, and he recently got a litter storage shed and a composter with the district.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
You should be a walking
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rain cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Bingo!
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by
Truck
the USDA,
and Electric
HHS,
offers our
and
member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom?
Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Welcome back, everyone. We had a little bit of technical difficulties there for a second, but I think we're back okay, and said maybe we only missed 4 or 5 seconds, so hopefully we were just adding a period when we went off, but we're back now with Matt Craighead, and we were talking about the awards banquet. So, Matthew, if you want to, just, I guess, go ahead where we were at.
I guess I'll just kind of start back. Our Poultry Producer of the Year was Mr. Tommy Cherry from the Harmony Springs community. And next up, we had our Part-Time Farmer of the Year. And, you know, a few years ago, the district recognized that there's very few full-time farmers left in the county. And, you know, the majority of farmers and landowners secure a job off the farm. So they wanted to recognize the people that, you know, part-time farm, but may put in just as many hours on the farm as they do their job. But this year, Part-Time Farmer of the Year was Mr. Bud Bauer, and he runs a herd of Hereford cattle, which is probably one of the few pure Hereford herds left in the county.
Yeah, and that, of course, we could get into a big history on that, couldn't we, where those things were brought in from Scotland, wasn't it?
The history of cattle in the United States is interesting, and you can even trace it through the county. If you talk to any of the older farmers, they've been through, just seems like, all the breeds at one time or another.
I think we had a Jimmy Stewart movie years ago about when they first brought in the Hereford to breed them with the Texas Longhorns, wasn't it?
I think that might have been before my time.
It was a few years ago, but that, you know, that was the thing about the, since we're on that, the Texas Longhorn was an animal that could basically live on dust.
That's correct. It seemed like you could just about tie them up in a parking lot and they produce cash.
And the sirloins tasted a lot like dust, though, I think, on those things.
That seems to be the issue.
But I think they did do a breed, maybe the Hereford, some of the imported breeds, and turned out, I'm not sure what even breed came out of that, but it apparently made a pretty good steak, so the cattle business developed pretty good out the West.
Before we get too far off track, we'll get back on our award winners. Our Young Farmer of the Year was Mr. Matt Copeland. And he's got a cattle operation and runs a few goats and hogs. And then probably his biggest mainstay is his high tunnel operation, where he produces tomatoes almost year-round.
Yeah, I know he has those things for sale just about any time you need one, doesn't he?
Yes, sir. And then finally, our Farmer of the Year was Mr. Brian Coons from the Moss area. And he's worked with the district over the past 4 or 5 years, and he really turned his farm around. When he started with it, it was pretty poor nutrient-wise, and not much forage out there, mostly sage-grass. And he worked with the district, put in some cross-fencing systems, and got cattle going on the farm, and then he's done some soil testing and applied nutrients in line. And probably the last big project he did was we had a drought reseeding program, and he participated in it and put out some soil health summer annuals, and then come back and sold it down in fescue.
Okay, now, Matt, we got all of our award winners.
Yes, sir. I think it's covered all the award winners.
Okay, and the You know, soil conservation in Clay County, you know, I remember as a high school student that one of the big things was all of the red clay gullies all over the county. And we put out those pine trees, and some of those things now are 50 or 60 foot tall, and a lot of them have been cut down and done away with, but we saved a lot of the county then with that. What is maybe one of the major problems we have now in soil conservation in Clay County?
Probably the biggest problems that we see in Clay County, the biggest problem is overgrazing. Where landowners running too many cattle or too much livestock on their land, and basically they eat the grass till there's no grass there, and when there's no grass there, there's nothing to hold the dirt, and it washes off. And I'm going to say the second thing is there's not a lot of cropland left, but a few years ago, the seemed like plowing got big again for corn and tobacco, but I've noticed in probably the last year or two, we've worked with some landowners on getting cover crops reestablished, and we've actually got some tobacco farmers now that's went to completely no-till tobacco.
Yeah, I've seen that, and of course with the corn crops that are a major crop here in Clay County now, most of those guys just barely break the soil, topsoil, don't they?
Yes, so they've come a long ways with the no-till technology and what they can do with it, and anytime you can keep a cover crop going on the ground or keep a living plant, a living root growing, you're saving the soil.
Okay, and I know you spoke that, you know, we don't have a lot of tillable soil land left in Clay County. I don't know, you're probably not old enough to remember when that all came about and changed so much, are you? Or are you?
I'm going to say that's a little bit before my time.
And I know, of course, the way some of the farming industry was set up in years back when we had allotments of the cash crops, that the wearing out of soil was a problem, wasn't it?
The history of that, I do know a little bit about that, is probably what you're referring to, the majority of it will be the tobacco program they had for years. And basically it was a market stabilization program that they linked to conservation. So it kept the small farmer was able to grow an acre or two of tobacco and make enough profit that, you know, it would be worthwhile. It paid for a lot of Christmases and a lot of land payments in the county. And in that, they linked it to a conservation plan in which the farmers would sow cover crops, and then they would actually rotate their tobacco crop around their farm.
Right, and I know that they tried to keep that. They had that good plot of land that would grow the great tobacco. They grew it every year there, didn't they, for as long as they could. A lot of them did because...
That's true in some cases, but in the majority of the county, they found that, you know, if you went in and, say, plowed up good fescue sod, the second year was kind of where it peaked as far as production. Then it started downhill from there. So as you kept plowing and breaking down the organic matter in your soil, you kept seeing a drop in production. So even without a conservation plan, I'd say a lot of times that they would have moved just on their own.
They figured that on their own after a couple of 3 years, didn't they?
Yes.
And I know, you know, I can remember that when I was younger, that the tobacco crops were measured in tenths of an acre, weren't they? And now if someone said something about a tenth of an acre of tobacco, it would be kind of funny, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes. You don't see many small farmers anymore. They're small tobacco growers, I'll say.
Do you have any idea how many acres of corn and tobacco we have in the county? I'm sure you have it written down somewhere, but off the top of your head, maybe a guesstimate or even a good number.
I'm going to say we're probably at about 200 or 300 acres of tobacco, and just guessing off the top of my head, I'm going to say somewhere around between 1,000 and 2,000 acres of corn and soybeans.
And that is all contract farming now, isn't it?
Your corn growers, they're still kind of selling on the open market. Most of them are hauling either to Performance Feed at Red Bowling or taking them to the river at Owensboro. But now your tobacco growers, they still try to run a contract as much as they can, or at least the ones I've talked to do.
So now, you go, that's kind of the difference in the old setup, isn't it? The old setup was that, you know, the farmer gets tobacco down to a tobacco warehouse at Hartsville or Gallatin or some of those places, and the representatives from the tobacco company would actually come in, and if you've never been to one of those things, they were amazing to watch, and they'd have a tobacco auction.
Yes, sir.
Did you ever make it to one of those?
I never made it to there. You know, I grew up, the tobacco buyout hit about the time that I really got big enough and old enough to start working in it. But I remember many a cold day in the tobacco barn stripping with my grandma and grandpa.
And I can remember those things, and you know, the auctioneer would go through, but now there was a set price on those, best I remember. There was a bottom dollar that the government, the USDA guaranteed that the farmer would get, irregardless of what he bid off at, I believe.
Yes, so that was part of their market stabilization program.
And that went away a few years ago.
I think we're at 11 years now. It was a 10-year buyout program, and if I'm not mistaken, last year was when most people received their last payment.
Okay, well, let's take a little short break right here. We'll be back just in a minute.
Hey, Clay County, Dairy Queen in Salina and Kicks Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down, 243-5574, to win an ice cream cake from Kicks Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Welcome back, everyone. I know school's on Christmas vacation this week, but I think our girls' basketball team played over at Sparta at 9:30 this morning. And I believe our boys play this afternoon at 5 o'clock. So they're still going, and I think they've got a basketball tournament after Christmas up at Jamestown. Up at York Institute. And folks, there ain't no good way to get to Jamestown from Salina, so you'll just have to go up Highway 52 and take your Dramamine when you get to Livingston so you can make it through all those curves and things going up there. Matt, I think you've got something else very interesting to talk about here for a few minutes.
Yes, sir. We're part of the Tennessee Association of Conservation Districts, which is a statewide partnership of conservation districts. And about 3 years ago, they hired a state soil health specialist, and which NRCS and the Tennessee Department of Agriculture has been pushing soil health as a preferred conservation practice. So they hired a state soil health specialist, and part of his job was to facilitate some outreach programs to help spread the word on soil health. And so one thing he came up with was he started touring the state and finding what he called soil health heroes. And basically, he was finding farmers that was doing an outstanding job at conservation and put together either a video or an article and posting it onto the state website. And this year, Mr. Andrzej Kazakowski of the Turkey Creek community became the 39th state soil health hero. And this was based off of his work with his cattle. He does an excellent job in rotational grazing. He's planted some soil health cover crops. And he's using them to help rejuvenate the soil on his farm.
Well, congratulations to him, Andre. I'm not going to attempt his last name again. It took me forever when he was in high school to come close to getting that one right.
It's always interesting when somebody calls in the office to hear the different pronunciations.
But that's a great award. And we were talking a minute ago about the tobacco. I'd say I don't know how many acres of tobacco we had under the price subsidy era, but I'm wondering how that compares with the number of acres that our large tobacco growers are growing here in Clay County now.
I'd venture to say that 20 years ago there was substantially more tobacco grown in the county than there is today.
There were a lot of those small farmers that had
maybe, you know, 10 acres or less of tobacco. And like I said, we talked a minute ago, a lot of those farms where you measured it and where you had 7/10 of an acre, that would, you know, 7/10 of an acre of tobacco back in those days could bring you in maybe $1,000, $1,500 for a year that the family could work on of clear money. So that was a great Christmas bonus, wasn't it?
Yeah, sure. I've often talked to my boss about the fact that, 20 years ago as a young farmer, you could lease a tobacco base and be basically guaranteed to make at least $2,000 an acre.
Right.
And so if you put out 2 or 3 acres of tobacco, you know, you had enough to make a farm payment guaranteed. And today, you know, as a young farmer, we kind of don't have an opportunity like that in the county.
No, now you got to get that first job and farm it. And as you said earlier, you're a part-time farmer and farm is as a second occupation, don't you?
Yes, sir. Getting a little off subject here, but I didn't want to recognize...
I didn't know we'd ever done that.
I do want to acknowledge we have a new secretary in the office, Miss Elena Bone, and Miss Stephanie Ledbetter took a job at Macon Bank and Trust, and so we're going to miss her, but we're excited to welcome Miss Bone into the office.
So you got some new help down there. What has she got you guys all lined out yet, or?
She seems to be. She started the Monday of banquet week, so we told her, said, don't judge your job based just on this week.
Well, Matthew, you got any other farm news around the county that you know of?
Corn yields have seemed to have been outstanding this year. I've talked to a couple different farmers, and they're pushing 200 to 300 bushels an acre of corn in the county, which is, to me, just outstanding. Cattle prices are kind of hanging in there. They're up 1 week and down the next. I think everybody's still missing the 3-year-ago prices, but I think everybody's kind of accepted now that we're going to have to move on as an industry.
Yeah, the boom is over for a while, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I guess the biggest thing I've noticed is if you look at the forecast in the last few days, they're giving about 3 to 4 inches of rain for the weekend there, as I can tell. So I spent a little time this morning putting out some extra hay, and I know some other farmers across the county doing it on my drive-in. So I'd say it's a busy morning for putting out hay and getting ready for the weather.
Okay, now, you know, the different seasons, as you said, you know, putting out the hay, when does the hay feeding season normally begin?
A lot of that depends on how good of a rotational grazing system that you have in place. We got several farmers in the county that will easily make it to January before they have to feed hay because they're rotating their cattle and utilizing the maximum amount of forage that they can.
Okay, now what are the seasonal grasses that they use? Now, let's talk about that. Just we got a few seconds here.
Of course, I mean, the mainstay in the county is Kentucky 31 Fescue. And you referenced the red gullies you've seen before. I would attribute Kentucky 31 is one of the main reasons we don't see them anymore.
Okay. Well, hey, I guess draw me a number out of that bucket there. And well, looked like he's drawn number one. Don't have we managed to do that. But Delisha Watson has won the birthday and anniversary cake for today. And I forgot my drum roll. Delisha Watson, you are the winner of today's birthday and anniversary cake from the Salina Grill and Shield. And the procedure for that is we'll have a certificate for you over at the Clay County Chamber, and you go by there and pick that up and run by and pick yourself up one of those delicious cakes. And we hope you enjoy that, and we'll remind everyone to make sure that they call in and get your name on that list. And the number is 243-5574. And it's been a great morning this morning. I'm glad we had John Keaton here with us this morning to get us started where we had a little discussion about Christmas. And I think Matthew made it in early and joined in and did a great job once again, Matthew, letting everyone know about the soil conservation folks, the programs, the tree programs. I think maybe you guys do have some free trees occasionally that you give away.
We'll partner with the Tennessee Department of Forestry in the early spring and have some seedlings normally.
I thought that was part of it. And then you have your big tree sale in the fall, and you had that down at your office this year instead of on the square. How was the sale this year? Was it a good year?
We had a good year for a sale. The format was a little different this year. We had to buy our own trees, so we kind of had to come up with our own selection, and that went well. And next year we're looking at expanding and trying to get some More trees.
Okay. Well, I guess with that, it's about time we shut the barn door here, close this place down, and we want to thank everyone for listening to us. And may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you again here next week at the same time, same place on WVFB FM 101.5, Kicks Country. And until then, I guess we can use an extra 10 seconds because they lost us 10 seconds maybe during the show. And with that, good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them, or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.